Did I ever tell you that I watched a Liam Neeson movie backwards?
What? What does that mean?
I feel the liftoff. The clock has started. Roger.
Morning show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Mute switch. Hello, Kyle.
It's Friday. Oh boy, am I excited. It's Friday, November 4th, 2016. Oh, man, it's been a long week.
Yeah.
Like a real long week. I've had so many issues with my daily commute. It's slowly draining the life out of my brain. But I'm getting a whole lot of steps in, getting lots of tracking.
Wait, you walked to
of
work?
My steps. I did. I walked 85 miles to work. It took 4 days, but I did it. Actually, it would probably take me a day. What do you think? 85 miles, normal walking speed?
No, at least, that's at least 2.5 days.
Two and a half, okay. Right? Right, yeah, let's see, yeah, how, okay. I don't know where I would stay in between.
I walk in a day.
Man, this coffee's really getting to me. Boy, oh boy.
I'm going to go to a thing.
I mean, you could just use what everyone else on the planet uses, Google Maps, and turn on the walking feature. But
someone says that they know of hikers who have done about 50 miles a day.
Okay, so that's incredible.
So you definitely couldn't do it in a day.
Okay.
Because hikers can't even do that in a day. And hikers are like, you know, the elite walkers.
Oh, come on. No. They're no better than us.
On flat terrain, in pleasant weather, this person has walked 30 plus miles in a single day.
Okay. So two and a half.
Like I said, at two most. And a half.
Yeah. Okay. I'll mark that one down. You got it.
I wanted to go back to your commute. Do you take the train? So, you told me you take the train,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've talked about this before, but the nutty part is that the majority of the train that I take is not a below ground subway style train. The cars are like that, where you can stand or sit, and you know, the pee hopefully doesn't pool too much in the soft seat that you're about to put your buttocks into. Wait.
Who's peeing? You peeing or no? Someone else is peeing.
Both.
It's the toilet train.
Yeah, yeah. I got one. That's me farting into my train whistle. Hey, so when I do get on the train, it's an above ground train. Right.
Yeah.
They ride on the same sorts of rails. In fact, they cross regular people prone streets. The vehicles can traverse those tracks. And on Monday, one of those trains that I was taking hit a car.
Whoa.
Which is super dangerous. And
you were on the train?
I was not on the train. I was on the train behind it. But one of the trains did.
Oh, I see. So like the train that was like 5 minutes ahead.
Yeah, like 3 minutes ahead. Physically hit a vehicle.
Yikes.
Which caused a complete backup of the entire system going the way that we were going. And fire trucks and everyone else shows up. So the train I was on stopped, let everybody off. And then I was forced to either, call an Uber, Lyft, what have you, or walk past that station and find out what was going on. I did retweet the particular tweet from that day just to, I guess, help other people out that I don't know in the area that possibly take the same exact route that I take, which is
that
probably
follow you on Twitter?
That's definitely not I'm not sure why I did that, but whatever. Hey, it's important for people to know what other people are going through. And this is my first world problem. So, hey, whatever. But I did find a way to then pass that location where the accident had happened, walk a little bit farther. I got all my steps in for that day and got back on the train. Barely made it to the train that goes back from Union Station down to my home. But
oh, so this was on the way home.
Yeah, it's a very complex way of going to and from the two areas that I spend the majority of my time. But I made it and everything's fine. Everything is good. Don't worry about it.
For the entire time that you've been taking the train to your work of employment, this is the first time that this sort of thing has happened, right?
This week in particular was for some reason. Yeah,
this is the first time it happened this week.
Yes. The Monday was actually striking a vehicle, and then the rest of the days were just more like, hey, there's a long delay on this train, and we're going to sit here for a while without air conditioning, and you're going to burn up. Mm-mm-mm. Which is fun. But hey, everything is fine. How's your life? Take me through a normal day in the life of Kenny.
No, why would we? Dog burps on Twitter.
We won't then. We won't. Just really quickly then. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Great. It's Friday. You know, it's great. Some people consider this the first day of the weekend because I suppose it is the end of the week, the work week, right? Are you one of those who consider the weekend Friday?
Boy, I don't. Technically, I suppose it would be the end of the week if you wanted.
That's what I just said.
If you want to get into semantics, which last episode we did, in fact, and we caused a gigantic conversation to be had.
I think that argument is still happening.
It's burning deep in my soul right now.
As
it is burning deep in the throngs of the stuffy Slack that you yourself can get access to and see exactly what we're talking about over at patreon.com/morningshow. You get access to not only the full unedited broadcast, which includes our very own rendition of Creed's Can You Take Me Higher, and access to the stuffy Slack, which is just a fun private chat room for you to send us hopefully not nudies, but that's fine. Whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Can I just clear up on our pre-show? We don't always sing Creed. That doesn't happen every pre-show.
Yeah.
Today in particular, though.
No.
Yeah.
It does.
Particularly,
it does.
Yeah.
Can we talk about all of the reviews that came out yesterday? I'm changing the subject. All of the reviews came out yesterday for a product that you have pre-ordered. I don't know if you've told anybody about this, but a product that you have pre-ordered named Google Home.
Yeah, I'm going to update everybody. Okay. I pre-ordered it and it's arriving today.
Gasp.
Today?
And today.
That's surprising.
That's what the order shipment messages tell me.
I usually expect all of these Gizmodos and Verges and everything to get the product long in advance before it's actually available to the general public.
I think they usually get it a week before everybody.
I would expect as such as well, but one day is not bad. Not bad. So you're getting your Google Home today.
Yes.
You've had experience with the Amazon Echo and you have not. Zero experience.
I've had zero experience. Really interesting. So this is a brand new frontier for me.
So it's kind of like going back to read receipts. It's kind of like battling me, Amazon Echo, and you, Google Home. And
I don't think we should. No. We're not going to consider this a battle. I think we're going to consider this best of both worlds.
Or it could go horribly wrong.
That's true.
Best of what worlds? What feature in particular, specifically, are you most excited about for this new product you're getting today?
To be honest, I don't know. But I like the idea that I'll be able to use Chromecast without touching any buttons. That's one of the things I can do.
Is that the one I gave you?
That's the one you gave me. You gave me a Chromecast.
You said you were going to give it back, and then I saw you tweet and say that you liked it a lot.
I'll just buy it from you.
No, you can have it. You know what? I don't even want it anymore. It's not even mine.
Can I make mention of something?
You've had your
grubby chili fingers, yeah,
all over it, and I don't want it anymore.
In this promotional photo from, it looks like Engadget, in this article that we're looking at, the guy, so the person is holding the Google Home in their hand, in their palm.
I guess the Google Home.
Keep going.
Nope.
He has it in his hand, and you're basically able to tell the relative size of it based on how big it is in his hand. The thing that I'm drawn to, though, is his Apple Watch and how many notches down he has to go to secure his Apple Watch. Are you looking at this?
Notches down. Show me your notches, please. I don't know what you're talking about. Send it to me. Is this in our show notes, like our actual legitimate show notes?
It's the article that you shared.
Ah.
From Mac Rumors. It's an image from Engadget.
Can I just say, tiny, super tiny. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly surprised at how tiny this is.
What's tiny?
The home. My home is too tiny.
Yeah, I'm putting my hand up to my monitor to see how big that it could possibly be in my hand. That is tiny. That's no more than, like, I don't know.
It's phone sized.
8 inches tall.
Yeah, it's phone sized.
Yeah, about. I'd say Mac Mini, or not Mac Mini. Maybe Mac Mini.
Well, they've got an image here. If you have an Amazon Echo, you can see that size versus the Google Home size.
It's about half
Echo. It is about half, yeah.
It's sliced down the middle.
It actually looks like you have sliced it sideways, and the top head part of it just slid off, kind of like...
Yeah.
Like bloodied and just, you know, slowly...
Right, but can we go back? Now that I know that you're looking at the image, can we go back to this guy's Apple Watch?
Sure.
Where he wears it on his wrist?
Sure. Are you going to wrist shame him?
Yes, I'm going to wrist shame him.
Please.
When you were wearing an Apple Watch,
yes.
Do you remember how many notches down you had to go to fit it on your wrist?
It was on the fourth notch. Fourth notch, okay. From the left.
Yeah, this guy's going on the sixth.
Straight on till morning. That's fine.
I'm on the second. I'm on number two, Kyle. I have tiny wrists, I suppose.
You have to number two? What'd you say?
Yeah. My wrist has to number two, Kyle.
Well, he must have to number six, because...
Oh, what even is number six?
Grubby chili fingers, yeah.
I got the grubby chili fingers coming out.
So there are plenty of reviews out right now. In my opinion, this is the best. It's sort of a conglomeration of all of the different reviews that are available. Wired, The Verge,
TechCrunch,
and Gadget. Yes, CNN. It's got links, Techno Buffalo. It's got links to pretty much all of the top outlets and their hot takes, real hot takes on this new product. I'm curious to know what you think about it. What can people do? Follow you, Pizza Robotics, on Twitter.
Yeah, hopefully I get it early enough today that I can really put it through its paces during the day.
Should I call you on the actual telephone and have your device talk to my device?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, we'll do that then. That sounds like a good use of both of our times.
Oh, totally. What else are we going to do today, Kyle?
These are today's headlines.
We could do a little bit of this.
Now, there's just one thing I want to tell everybody for today's headlines. The NFL is making a virtual reality series for YouTube and Google Daydream. Whoa.
So, NFL VR, but not games.
No, I'll explain that in just a second. Okay. I just want to make it clear that I think what we're going to need to do starting now that Google Daydream is out. Do we now consider VR and Daydream, or is everything VR? Daydream is VR, or do we have to start naming Google Daydream?
So Daydream is like a product. Yes, it's a specific platform that currently only works with the Pixel line of smartphones, and I believe a particular LG offshoot that had the ability to work with it before, but Daydream itself, yes, it's its own thing.
Yeah, I want it to be everything, all the VR headsets, all the things. They can all play everything. I'm waiting for that time. I know it's not here yet, but I'm waiting for that time.
That was cardboard. So the cardboard lenses and everything like that. So long as you had one of those.
Because the technology was in the phone. It wasn't in the device.
Correct. That seemed to be the most universal. It's a very simplified view. You could use things like what you're about to talk about, the YouTube 360 videos, to watch on whatever smartphone, iPhone, Android, and throw it into that cardboard thing that slices up the front of your face. But that's fine. So what's going on here, Kenny, with the NFL?
All right, Kyle. Let me tell you about the NFL thing.
Tell me about the NFL thing. Okay.
All right. Starting this month, the NFL is bringing a 9-part series filmed in 360-degree VR to YouTube. It will be available to watch with Google's Daydream View headset sometime later this year. NFL Films is currently producing this series using Google Jump, the company's 360-degree capture system. The debut episode will launch on the NFL's YouTube channel on Thanksgiving Day, which is November 24th for all of you Americans, and will let viewers, quote, spend a week with the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line as they prepare for the upcoming matchup and gain exclusive access to the Eagles bench and sideline on game day. What?
So they'll take you to all the seedy parts that nobody really wants to watch on television and make
come with us to the defensive lineman lunch where we eat a full pig.
Yes. 890,000 calories per plate.
Per player.
Plater.
Mm-hmm. This sounds kind of dumb. Just going to say that. This sounds really dumb.
It's one small step. I don't think they need a 9-part series, though. There was nothing that I've seen that was proof enough to say, hey, let's get some major money behind this whole behind-the-scenes NFL VR thing. There have been like HBO Showtime-style shows that go into depth and try and tell a story like this. Right. But it's about storytelling, right? It's not about it's not about immersing you in the experience of potentially being a player. That would be great.
I just feel like the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line is the most innocuous group to follow.
Aren't they doing really well this year, though?
The Eagles?
Yeah.
I think so, but I don't... for one, I'm not a Philadelphia Eagles fan, so I really don't care. I suppose for Eagles fans, this would be somewhat cool. But then at that point, you have to be a defensive line fan to really appreciate their preparation for the upcoming matchup.
Kenny.
I will say this. Having the 360-degree view on game day, like from the bench, that sounds cool to me. Like field view from the sideline, that sounds really cool. But I don't know if that's what they mean.
Your Philadelphia Eagles are 4-3, making them third in the NFC East.
That's not that great.
No, it's terrible. They play.
But it's over 500.
They play the New York Giants on Sunday, November 6th at 10 a.m. on Fox. 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 MetLife Stadium, New Jersey. Did you know that their mascot is named Philadelphia Eagles Swoop? That's the entire name. Swoop.
Wait, he doesn't have like a cool like Ernie the Eagle or something like that?
They don't even have a Wikipedia page for this beast, this vile creature. Let's see what it looks like.
Swoop.
There it is.
Swoop, there it is.
Yep. It was debuted in 1996. It, the Philadelphia Eagles mascot.
The mascot has no gender.
Reportedly, one of the most notable mascots in all of the NFL.
I had no idea. Why is that? What? That's a dumb statement.
Well, you don't really expect to see. We actually had a brief conversation over in Stuffy Slack about the 49ers, Sourdough Sam, their NFL mascot. So it's weird, strange to bring this all back together. But hey.
Okay.
Swoop, there it is.
Swoop, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Kenny.
Yeah.
Let's thank our friends over at FeedPress for supporting.
Yeah.
For supporting just this show and our emotions and our listeners. They even support you because the file that you're listening to right now was thanks to our friends over at FeedPress. They're a simple, intuitive, and powerful RSS analytics. So that means we know who exactly you are. And podcast hosting platform. That means the file you're listening to is made from us, given to them, and then they give it to you. Sort of like a middle person to put in between our mouth and your ear. So thanks to FeedPress for making sure that we don't kiss your ear too violently. They feature accurate.
This is getting really weird.
I know. They feature accurate subscriber, podcast download, and geolocation tracking, integrated newsletters, automated publishing, slick drag and drop podcast hosting interfaces. You can rename files on the fly, just like Swoop. And everything you need in order to submit an optimized feed to iTunes. They've got 400 megabytes of flexible file storage. That's enough, honestly, to put this show up there per month. And that just keeps going, too. So whatever you don't use, boom. Bam. Emerald style. Bam. You put garlic in it, and you get 400 megabytes. What else should I tell listeners about, Kenny? What's some more important stuff?
More important stuff is that you can go to feed.press
/. Morning show. Yeah, that's the name of us. Yeah.
And you can get 10% off.
That's right.
Your first year if you use the promo code Morning Show during checkout.
I don't like how we went like transatlantic.
But sign up today and try a feedpass for
That sounds pretty great, Kenny.
Oh, what happened to you?
No, nothing.
Surprise.
FeedPress.
You got slammed in the head.
My nose is gone. Hey, sign up today. Try it. There's a 14-day trial, so it can be completely free with no contracts or commitments. And do as Kenny said. Use the promo code Morning Show during checkout. You'll get 10% off your first year. Hey, thanks, FeedPress. This commercial has gone on long enough. Hey, I'm ready to play a game.
Oh, a game already?
Yeah, you know, we usually, it's kind of like a fact-based game. We're going to play a hopefully not too lengthy round of, let's get this, a lengthy round of British food slang or not.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to say a phrase or word that is may or may not be a British food slang. And you need to guess if it is or not. Got it?
All right. Now, just to be clear, I've watched a lot of Kitchen Nightmares, like the original Gordon Ramsay in England style. So I'm just telling you, I might have a little bit of background to know that these are not slang.
It's fine.
But I will probably get all of them wrong.
So. All right. Then let's start with the first one here. Mustard plaster. Is that a
mustard plaster?
Yeah. Is that a British food slang term or not?
You have to say it in the accent.
Mustard plaster.
No, not slang.
You're right. It's actually 1920 slang for someone who isn't wanted but won't leave.
I'm gonna use that now.
Hey, quit being a mustard plaster.
What are you, a gangster?
yeah, see? I'm a gangster, see?
Oh boy.
Bacon sarnie.
What?
Bacon sarnie.
Bacon sarnie?
Yeah, slang or not?
Yes.
What do you think it means?
What?
What do you think it means?
Oh.
What does this all mean?
Bacon sarnie. I feel like it's bacon and sardines.
No. In fact, it refers to a generous portion of bacon sandwiched between two slices of white bread. It's almost kind of like our plate sandwich from this morning. Kind of. Prosciutto, avocado. No. What was it? Plat. You're not going to help me out here. Fine. Kenny.
No.
Third one.
How do you spell that, by the way?
Banana oil.
No, how did you spell sarnie?
S-A-R-N-I. You're looking it up?
S-A-R-N-I?
Yeah.
No. What's funny is that...
You're going to tell me a story now. What's going on?
No, here? I follow a guy from England on Twitter, and he, this morning, or I guess his afternoon, posted a picture of bacon between two slices of bread. And I was like, what the heck is that?
Surprise.
Did he just make a bacon sandwich?
It's a bacon sarnie.
And you just gave it a name. So I just responded to him and I said, bacon sarnie.
There you go.
That's it. Real time. All right. What was the next one? Banana hammock? What?
banana oil for your banana hammock. Banana oil.
Banana oil. How is that slang? I don't think that's slang.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. So, sorry. No. Correct.
Oh, yay!
Sorry. I'm getting the correct answer versus what you say mixed up. It's fine. It's not like I've been doing this for 209,000 episodes. It's fine. Banana oil. Yes. In fact, Kenny, it is not British food slang. It means that's doubtful.
Okay.
From the 1920s. You're gonna see a theme here. It's gonna either be British food slang or slang from the 1920s. I got all the racial slurs out of there though, so we should be fine. Bangers.
Are you sure you got all the slang out of there?
Not totally sure now. Bangers.
Yeah, that's totally British slang for food.
You're right.
Yeah.
Bangers and mash.
Sausage.
Right. I don't know why they're called bangers, but. But yeah.
Bevy.
Bevy. Yes.
You're right. It's short for beverage.
Yeah, I figured that would, because that's what I would say. Well, Bev. Hey, can I get a, yeah, bevy, I guess.
Need a quick bevy.
Hey, can I get a bevy?
We're going to offend somebody. Amici.
Amici?
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of a pizza place over here in the Bay Area.
Amici, is it slang? Food slang? British food slang?
No, I would say no.
You're right. It means a phone.
A phone? What?
A 1920s phone is called an Amici or a blower.
Ah,
blower.
Next one. Burger sauce.
Burger sauce. That could totally be slang for ketchup, but that's too many syllables.
Burger sauce.
Burger sauce. Can I get some burger sauce?
Hey, burger sauce. Hey, burger sauce. Come here.
Now, you're like a pirate in the 20s.
Arr, burger sauce.
Yar, give me a burger sauce.
I said booger sauce.
Yeah. You remove the R's. What do you think?
Let's go not slang, not British food slang.
That is incorrect. It is a mixture of mayonnaise and breakfast ketchup in one bottle, so you don't have to worry about swirling it into your patty. It just happens. So
that's like Thousand Island a little bit.
No, more like fry sauce. If you're familiar with fry sauce, which is okay. Available in your Midwest town of choice.
Great.
Calf. Okay.
Calf?
Calf.
Pretty sure that's a baby cow.
Okay, is it British food slang or not?
Yes.
You're right. It's short for cafe.
Cafe? That's already a pretty short word. Why do you need to shorten it even more?
We got to go to the calf.
We got to go to the calf. Got to get a calf.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that we're getting veal at that point.
That's fine. What's wrong with that?
Go to a cafe and get veal. Yeah, that sounds totally fine.
Speaking of calf, meat wagon. Is that British food slang or not?
That was my nickname in high school.
Yeah. Hey, meat wagon.
Hey, come on. Ride the meat wagon.
That's not. No. Wow.
No.
All right.
No. Based on the fact that most of these British slang have just shortened one word, giving it meat wagon should not be a slang word. So no.
You're right. It's 1920 slang for an ambulance.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Kenny, next one. Cheeky Lando's. I'm sorry. Cheeky Nando's. Wait. Good stuff.
You got it right the first time.
Good
stuff.
And then
you win. Well, no, it's totally Lando Calrissian. Nope, yes. It's not. Nope, I changed my mind.
goodstuff.fm/3G3Q.
Let's say.
Let's say.
Yes.
You're right. Cheeky cool. Is an adjective. Used to describe the joy in doing something naughty.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Naughty.
Okay. Nerds.
Nerds?
Nerds.
Like nerds?
Nerd. Yeah, with a T. Nerds.
With a T. Nerds.
Yeah, and it's said with an exclamation point.
No, the no slang.
It's not slang?
It's not British food slang.
You're right. Nice work. Means that's awesome.
I couldn't say that.
Afters. Is that British?
Afters?
Is it British food slang or not?
I feel like that's totally a shortening of after, like after dinner mints. So I'm going to say yes.
It's a nostalgic term used by kids in reference to desserts like sticky toffee pudding and custard.
So instead of saying dessert, they say afters.
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of dumb.
So,
especially for people who like to eat dessert first. Do you know those kind of people?
I'm assuming that's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how I live
Start
my life.
Start with the cake and end with the broccoli.
Would that make broccoli the dessert? I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Yam.
That feels like somebody with a really thick accent saying yum.
That's not
yum.
No.
Yum.
Oh, no.
Let's go no. Not British food slang.
It is. It's used as a verb. To yam is to eat something fast and hungrily. I'ma yam it into my jaw.
Like so it's like scarfing.
Yes.
Scarfing the food.
Yes. Down. Scarf. Scarf. Bunny.
I'm a scarf.
Bunny.
That's an animal.
Bunny. Is it? No. Is it British food slang? Bunny.
Bunny. No.
You're right. It's someone who seems lost.
What?
In the 1920s. Oh, I'm lost right. Lost in the 20s.
Now, can I just say all of these 1920s slang terms?
Yeah.
They're going to come around. We have four more years here until we get to 2020. We're back into the 20s.
I don't think banana oil is on the ballot, or it might
be. That should totally start coming back. All this 20s slang, mm-hmm. Everyone who talked like in the 20s. Come on.
Just text me on my blower.
I don't think that's okay.
Uh-huh. Hey, Chippy.
Chappy.
Chippy.
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 I would say yes. Hold on. Don't say yes or no yet. Man, these chocolate chip cookies, they're way too chippy. I want more cookie.
Okay. Yes. You're right.
But it's not the way I used it.
No, it's a nickname for a fish and chips establishment.
Oh,
let's go to the chippy and yam our faces.
Man, I had fish and chips when I was in London.
All right. So good. Next one. Marvin.
Marvin.
Yeah.
Let's say no.
It's your cousin. It's the starving Marvin. You're wrong. Actually, it is a phrase derived from starving, like Marvin. So it just means you're super hungry.
Wow.
And
Marvin.
Last one.
Where's that from?
What?
Marvin.
I think you're thinking of Back to the Future. It's your cousin. Maybe. Cousin Marvin Berry.
Marvin.
Listen to this.
Marvin Berry.
Yeah. While he's screaming. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You want one more?
Okay. Yeah.
Last one, Kenny. Cellar smeller.
Cellar smeller.
Mm-hmm. Is that
too many syllables?
Is that British food slang or not?
No, I'm going to say no.
You're right. Okay. You
is it like the name for a corner or something like that?
No, it's a guy who comes around only when there's free booze.
A cellar smeller?
Yeah. Got to think Prohibition. You want a few extras here?
Yeah. Give me some extras.
Eel's hips.
Eel's hips.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You sure it's not eel ships?
Nope. Eel's hips, like the hips belong to the eel.
That sounds stupid.
Is it British food slang?
No.
Okay. You're right. Cash or check?
What?
Cash or check?
Cash. How is that slang?
It's a phrase that is slang for will you kiss me now or do we wait until later?
What? Wow.
Scone.
That's a food.
It's slang for will you kiss me now or eat this scone?
That's terrible.
Starter.
I'm not going to say that's a British food slang, but that's what they call appetizers.
Yes, bingo. Very, very good. Okay. All right.
I want to start that tradition in America. You have starters, you have main courses, and then you have dessert.
Well, it depends on where you go.
What is our fascination with appetizer or appetizer, as people might say?
Are you kidding? No. You can't say that.
I didn't say that. I said some other people say that. Appetizer.
I think.
Or appies.
Don't. Oh my gosh. What are you doing? I'm getting out of here. Kenny, I'm ready. I'm ready to celebrate a national day, a national food day. In fact, here we go. I forgot that I shortened the National Food Day read to just the sound of you.
Just me sounding like a frog.
Yep. Kenny, today's national is Happy National Candy Day.
Candy Day?
Candy.
How is this not on Monday?
I think this is sort of like whatever you had leftovers of, you can now yam it into your face.
Yeah, today is National
stale candy day.
It's not that stale. It's just a couple not days yet. Old unless you unwrapped it and then you waited. You just left it out for five
you
days.
Had to make, you had to make sure that the chocolate was actually inside the
computer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want me to tell you a little bit about National Candy Day?
Tell me a little bit about National Candy Day. I have some pieces of candy here on my desk.
Tell me what you're eating, because I have candy as well for our Food Friday segment.
Oh, well, this is not for Food Friday. This was just leftover that I didn't give. I didn't have any trick-or-treaters, so
is that breakfast? Leftover candy. Is that breakfast for you?
Definitely not breakfast. This is candy that my wife put on my desk and said, get rid of this candy, and I have not even touched it. So.
Is it your first meal, though?
I'm not... If I eat it right now, yes, it will be my first meal.
Okay.
After my coffee.
Coffee doesn't count.
Okay, then this is my first, this is breakfast.
It was in the late 13th century that the Middle English word for candy began to be used, coming into English from the old French, Carco, I need a lot of help here with this.
Cucre candy.
Sucre candy.
Yes, sucre candy. Mm-hmm. Derived in turn from the Persian canned and candy, meaning cane sugar.
So it's, I have Whoppers here.
Oh, what?
Whoppers.
This is going to turn into an ASMR podcast of just us, like.
Munching on the candy. The way I eat Whoppers... is I push one of the Whoppers to the edge of the bag, and I make the candy open the bag for me.
Because
I wish I could show you this.
The structural integrity of the Whopper is intact enough to be able to kind of squoosh it out the sides. Yeah.
Squoosh.
Is that British food slang or not?
That's morning show slang now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Since 1979, the world has produced more sugar than can be sold, making it very attainable and cheap. And as such, candy has exploded, and we just have warehouses full of candy waiting to be had by the American people. Yum. You want to know anything else about candy?
I kind of want to know what your candy is.
It was originally a form of medicine. Candy calmed the digestive system and cooled a sore throat.
Definitely like goes the other way now.
Like a lozenge. At the time, combined with spices and sugar, candy only appeared in the purses and dishes of the wealthy. So like Werther's, maybe.
Right, exactly.
We're gonna
pop another Whopper.
Nom.
Oh.
Should I tell you what I have today, or should we move on to Food Friday?
No, you should tell me now, because this is, you told me it's a candy, so why don't we celebrate in National Candy Day?
Well, but it is also kind of food for, okay, we'll do food news, and I'll tell you what I have for...
Ah, I crunched a Whopper.
Oh my gosh, don't do that. Don't do that. The best feeling is having that Whopper completely dissolve in your mouth.
Yeah, the first one was like that. The second one, it did not dissolve.
All right. So, Kenny, what I've got here.
Ugh. I got a Whopper wafer in my teeth.
I will have a link in the show notes for this over at bustle.com. But I have, for our Food Friday, pizza-flavored lollipops.
Whoa!
It's candy and pizza together. And it's not the gummy pizza that made rounds in my avatar for many a year. This, in fact, is a pizza flavored lollipop.
Okay. What flavor pizza? Like what kind of pizza?
It looks like just probably cheese and tomato. Like it's some sort of mixture. It's swirled with red dye and yellow dye onto this thing. So I'm trying to open it. I'm having a heck of a time.
Okay. I'll pop another Whopper.
Trying
this is the last Whopper of the package.
I don't think I have any scissors in here.
You mean clippers?
Clippers. I do have at least three players of the Los Angeles Clippers standing in the studio with me.
Boy.
I could go grab some scissors here. Man, opening this is incredibly hard. This is by what's their name? Lollyfile. Makers of many strangely flavored lolly products, which I have ordered before. They had a whole series of beer flavored lollipops, which is pretty dang good. But they have a whole lot of other flavors that I absolutely a million times would not be interested in. So, how about we move on to Food Friday while I try and get this open? And
we can Crunchless Whopper. That one was in between. That was all right.
We can try to go through some news here. You ready for that?
All right. Yeah. Let's do this.
It's time for Kyle and Kenny to shove something disgusting in their faces. Welcome to Food Friday.
It's already happening. Robo Harold.
Can I just say Whoppers? You know how we were in the history of candy that said it could be used as like a medicine and it would soothe a sore throat.
Right.
Whoppers do the exact opposite. I don't know if you've ever experienced Whoppers, guys, but they actually give you a sore throat.
Yes.
I don't know how, because right now I have this tickle in the back of my throat. Like what? Whoppers. I had three of them and they come in like a carton. How do people eat more than three Whoppers? All right, I'm gonna get Food Friday started here. I really want to start with. Oh, good. I want to start with this one. Yeah, definitely has been moved to the top once again. Ecto Cooler is dead. Dang it! I didn't even get it while it was alive.
While it was hot, didn't get your hot Ecto Cooler.
Oh, gross. If you didn't realize that High C's re-release of Ecto Cooler was a limited release, well, it was just made very clear on Facebook. It's going off the shelves by the end of the year. They posted on Wednesday a picture of the High C. What is that?
Like gravestone juice box?
Yeah, it says rest in peace, Ecto Cooler, 2016. But the popular drink was released along with the summer's Ghostbusters remake.
Right.
But now that the film has come and gone, so too will be the fate of Ecto Cooler. Go buy some cases while you still can and save them forever.
The lollipop is now in my mouth, a pizza lollipop.
Oh, tell us.
It's rather large.
Tell us.
Hold on, I'm trying to get... So it definitely tastes like sugar. I'm getting sugar.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of spicy. It's
spicy.
Yeah. Kind of spicy. I'm trying to I think it's a flavor that will build over time, because right now it definitely just tastes like, it doesn't smell good. That's for sure. It smells like a foot.
Oh.
But it tastes like a spicy, sugary foot. So
I'll keep trying it.
Okay, I'll keep covering some of these Food Friday things.
I want to do the next one.
Well, you can't do it with that thing.
Why not?
Let me cover this next one.
Okay.
All right, Kyle. Do cookie pods mark the decline of society?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. This is a, I guess, Keurig for cookies.
It doesn't
smart cookie oven.
It doesn't poop them out though. It doesn't like you gotta actually put the little dough in there, right?
Right. Okay. So let's actually, it's called Chip.
Okay.
And it's starting at $99 on Kickstarter, but eventually will retail for $249.
Here you go. Here's this.
All you have to do is donate to their Kickstarters.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. Chip was created. This is directly from their website. Chip was created by the team that brought you Side Chef, the step-by-step recipe named our favorite cooking app by the New York Times in 2016. In line with our goal to make cooking easier for everyone, we developed Chip, Wi-Fi enabled and smart. He can integrate with other smart home systems and provides the easiest and fastest way to enjoy freshly baked cookies anytime and anywhere. Download the Chip app and you'll also be able to send cookiegrams to your friends and loved ones.
What?
Okay.
What?
I think what you need to do is play the video, play the promotional video.
The entirety of the, okay. All right, here we go. What?
It's a 4-minute video.
Hold on. First of all, I clicked, and that was a very strange way of starting off a video. Just that, that sound. Let's try
it
again.
Meet Chip, the first ever device to bake cookies in under 10 minutes.
Okay, so it's just... I guess we've got to explain what's happening here. The Chip product, it looks about the size... If you've ever seen a dehydrator... Somebody's pouring coffee, about the size of a dehydrator, but is making cookies in what looks to be like breakfast, nut crunch breakfast cookies. Okay. Okay. Make delicious, healthy cookies in minutes.
Okay. So, the mother in the video, she opened the case. She took out 4 cookies for breakfast.
No,
and then the daughter had to close it up for her.
That is the cookie guardian. It actually comes with the chip itself.
It comes with the child.
Her name just is pulled... Pin. It's Chip and...
All right.
British.
Okay, Kyle. So I don't know how far... Are you playing the video or are Mm-mm. you? I'm watching the video on mute. I'm gonna explain what's happening.
Please.
So we don't have to listen to this weird thump, 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 thump. She just pulled cookie dough out of the freezer in a container. She's popping open the thing. Oh my god, what they come okay? So they're like little cookie pods that come out of this container and it has a QR code on the package that she then used. her phone device to take a picture of, and the phone device is the thing that controls the timing and temperature of the chip oven. Holy cow, that is super
but you
dumb.
You don't put the pod in the machine. You open the pod and you place the small dough ball onto the hot plate, which will then cook it, right?
She is now taking her chip oven outside to a fresh cookies stand, no lemonade, just fresh cookies.
Mm-hmm.
She sold it to a old woman, and the woman smiled and ate the cookie. I didn't see any transfer of Square Cash or anything.
There was no money exchanged. Well, you can't sell it. It's all under the table.
Right.
You can't see it.
Okay, so now they're talking about the app. Who cares about the app? Now we got some developers.
Let's just say, do you like this or not? And should we burn it to the ground?
Let's burn it to the ground because let's look at this in context, right? How long does it take to bake regular sheet of cookies? About 12 minutes, right? 12 to 14 minutes?
Sure, in an oven.
But that means that you have to make the cookie dough, or you could get cookie dough. Yeah. You don't really have to make anything.
No. Mm-mm.
But the only work that you're actually doing is, you know, with this, the work that you're doing is as minimal as they can possibly make it, right? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the process of making cookies down to the easiest level.
Okay. I get that.
Where Keurig has kind of said, well, now if the easiest way to make coffee is just to put a pod in a machine and then it gives you coffee, that's as easy as it gets, right?
Well, the idea of Keurig is to make it convenient for a process that you do every day, multiple times per day. If you're having that many cookies in your life, you've got to slow down.
You need
an intervention, a cookie intervention, because you are having way too many cookies. You don't need a machine that is dedicated to just making cookies.
Now,
I will take the Alton Brown approach to this and turn it on its head, because you don't need a single machine to make cookies, period. You've got enough. Just do it.
I will say that I don't believe
that these cookies are coming out of the oven and you can eat them right there, like they're showing in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's totally bunk. What are they putting in the dough to make it so that you can literally pull it off of the oven surface with your hands and then just like chomp in? No way. If it's actually baking them all the way through, it's going to be molten lava when you take it out of the oven. That's how you make cookies.
I love lava cookies.
Those are the best.
The bottom is crispy and the inside is quite possibly actual lava.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's magma. So good. You got magma cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wait.
Listening to Kyle. Listening to Kyle try to make a pun out of a couple words. That's the best.
Can we just move on to the next story, please?
Let's just say that if this was on up or upvote or downvote, I would downvote this with four thumbs. I would get someone else to come in here and I would use their thumbs and I'd put them both down.
Mm-hmm. Guys,
How's the pizza lollipop at this point?
Hey guys, all the Clippers in here, can you put your thumbs down for that last story, please? Thank you.
Wow. Nice.
Okay. Pizza lollipop is okay. It's very sweet. Almost like, it doesn't taste like onions, like sweet onions, but it does have a sugary flavor still. Not what I expected at all. I expected lots more like tomato flavor.
Like savory.
Uh-huh.
Right? I expected very savory.
Okay. Moving on to another Food Friday segment story. This dude is suing Popeye's chicken after being forced to eat fried chicken with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. A man in Gulfport, Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, mm-hmm. named Paul Newton Jr., is now suing Popeye's, claiming the fast food chain failed to provide him with the proper cutlery to eat his fried chicken breast. Mm. According to the Associated Press, Newton ordered from a Popeye's drive-through window earlier this week. Instead of receiving a knife with his meal, all Newton found in his bag was a spork, a utensil that combines the poking capabilities of a fork with the scooping prowess of a spoon, but sadly does not feature a serrated edge. It puts yes.
Okay.
All right, great. So, okay, now the basis is settled. He has gone through the drive-thru. He gets one utensil. It's a spork for fried chicken.
Through the drive-thru, though, right?
Right. Newton was subsequently forced to eat his chicken breast with his hands. He choked on his meal and had to undergo emergency surgery to remove the poultry from his throat. Now that's where that's the basis of his lawsuit. The reason that he is suing is because he choked on a piece of chicken that was too large because he wasn't given the proper utensils to minimize it.
So, Kenny, are you saying that he choked his chicken?
Popeye did.
Oh no! No.
Well, Kyle, guess what? When he's not busy scarfing down fried chicken, Newton is an attorney by profession and is now suing the chain for failing to provide him with a knife. So he knew when this happened, he's like, oh, wait a second. I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay. So if let's put it this way. I don't expect to get everything I need from the drive-thru. Period.
Exactly.
The drive-thru is the place you go when you're either shamefully eating a burrito in your car by yourself and you don't need utensils. And even if they don't give you a utensil, you just shove it in your face anyway. If you choke, that's your own fault. Also, you don't want to admit that you were eating alone in your car by yourself having that burrito. But that's besides the point, Kenny. The point here is that he knew enough not to eat the bag that the chicken came in or the container that the chicken came in. So put two and two together, bud, Paul Newton Jr. If you knew enough not to eat the bag itself, said,
They gave it to me. I guess I'm going to eat the paper bag. Why not?
Then you know enough to go home and cut that chicken if you know it's too big. Don't just shove it in your, don't yam it into your throat and choke on it, Paul. Do it.
So cut okay, it. So the suit that he is,
maybe they need to put a couple clippers in the bag. I don't know.
The thing that he's putting forth that because there was no knife, he was forced to tear off pieces with his teeth. And I guess he just took a too big a bite.
Uh-huh.
Now, not everyone at Popeyes is buying his claims. This is a quote from Tori Stokes, a former Popeyes employee. If you choke on your chicken and you have to get the chicken removed from your throat, it's not because Popeyes didn't apply a knife to the box. Maybe you should slow down eating. Nobody eats chicken with utensils. Whoa, shots fired. So I just want to say there are two types of people who go through the drive-thru. I work in binary. One type of person goes to the drive-thru and then eats the food in their car, right? They're on the move. They go through the drive-thru because they don't want to stop in their car.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
The other type of person is the person who goes to the drive-thru in their pajamas or in, you know, they're basically not ready to go inside a public place because sure. They're not dressed for it or whatever. And they'd go through the drive-thru to get food to take back to their abode and eat the food there. I would assume that Mr. Newton is of the first kind of people who was on the move and he needed the chicken to be eaten in his car because he was just on the move. The real question is, if he had a knife, was he about to use utensils in his car
while driving?
While driving? Because that is then the bigger question is, you can't do that. That's not legal, is it?
In MISSISIPPI, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know, honestly.
I would say that this is the question that Popeye should bring up. Be like, hey, buddy, if you were really that hungry, come into the store, sit down at a table, and there's abundant utensils inside the Popeyes.
We quite literally have 800,000 knives waiting for you inside. You just couldn't come inside and grab one. There you go.
Right. So if he was, and if he couldn't come inside, I don't know. I think he's crazy.
I don't know if it's a matter of crazy or not. I just think
they're
we're not playing that game. I think there are different expectations for drive-through people versus not drive-through people, and never expect to get everything that you get inside the restaurant through the drive-through. Period.
Exactly.
Kenny, next one, Pringles. They've released new sugar cookie chips with holiday sweater cans.
This sounds like the perfect. Perfect food Friday.
You can put they've got a to and from little tag on the side. So I can gift you a can of Pringles. This is great. This is a good like white elephant gift. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you just get everybody likes a Pringle, right?
Okay. And
maybe not.
Well, I just want to make clear. This does say it will be available in November in mm-hmm. Walmart stores nationwide mm-hmm. because the last time we covered a Pringles story, mm-hmm. it turned out to be either old where they weren't available anymore, or it was in some other country that we couldn't get them. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, but we were able to get a lot of what, you know, we needed at a Walmart earlier. So now we'll just go back.
All right.
And get the Pringles sugar cookies. We've tried a number of different Pringles cans in the past. This one will retail for $1.69. So careful, listeners. We need your support to buy these Pringle cans. So go over to patreon.com/morningshow. Give us your money so we can stuff our faces with sugar cookie flavored potato product. That sounds terrible. Hey,
yeah, I wonder how much chip is inside the chocolate. Or the cookie.
I would assume it is simply a dusting of like salted caramel flavor.
So you're basically saying
normal ones.
Okay, so you're not. It's not like a potato cookie inside my Pringles can. It's still chips
with sugar on them. They're sweet chips. Yeah, kind of like what I'm
would it
eating?
Be if it was
right now?
Oh,
gross. You know.
Gross. No.
Welcome back. It's okay. Everything's fine. Hey, okay. Kenny.
Yeah.
This is the last story of the day. Here's three ridiculous creations people came up with during National Pizza Month. Did you know that it was National Pizza Month?
Hey, guess what? If you open that page. Oh, man. Sorry. If you open that page, all three videos auto load.
Oh, cool. They play.
They auto play.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and they all start with like rock music.
Okay. Here we go. I'm ready.
Do it.
I'm waiting. Oh, you hurt them.
Oh, yeah!
A koozie? A pizza? I don't know. We'll just call it a pizza koozie.
This
Oh man.
This is so intense. And then the next one loads immediately.
Oh.
That could quite possibly be the worst webpage on the internet.
That's the best way to close up the show, by the way.
Okay.
I just want to say a pizza beer koozie, you heard?
Yeah.
Pizza shot glasses and a pizza ping pong table.
Pizza pong table.
Pizza pong table, right.
Well, you can find that webpage if you want over at goodstuff.fm/morningshow/328. We're also over at morningshow.am. I put the notes in both places and then one points to the other one. And just that's the way the world works. If you'd like to, please follow us on Twitter and send us messages, and Kenny will do an unboxing video for his YouTube subscribers and say, hey, everybody, it's Google Home.
Wait, you're basically putting words in my mouth. I never agreed to that.
That's right. And
I'll do it, though. I'll do the unboxing.
And then you can follow us on Twitter. I am Dog Burps. Well, I finished this. My lollipop here is almost entirely yellow now. It's a very awkward shade of yellow.
The urine pop.
A little bit. Tiny. No, I don't think that's what they do. Hey, you should also check out some of the other great shows over on the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network. That is the podcast network that we are a part of and that I have one foot in and one foot out of at this point, honestly. It's a great place to find awesome shows. There's a non-breaking space show. It is a CSS cooking and design podcast. If you like to cook with CSS, that's where you go. There's also the At You Two podcast. They say right back at you too when other people say things to each other on the show. You should really check it out. It's a good time. There's also Three Guys, Three Questions. Now, I think that's pretty close to three answers as well. I don't know if they actually get to the answers part, but they at least ask the questions. So if you want to know more and if you want to see if they actually answer the questions, you'll just have to go listen and check it out. That's all I've got.
Weird. It's weird that they're not three Q's, three A's because all of their names start with A.
Hey, people have made that joke a lot already. So
I know.
I'll just forget that you said it. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to fall back, and then we'll be back on Tuesday. Until then, we love you.
Sure. Oh, bye. Have a good weekend.